This is Amateur Logic, episode 194, for June 28th, 2024. Amateur Logic is brought to you by ICOM, Fun, Sun, and QSO. Wherever you go, keep the fun going with one of ICOM's go-to portables or remote rigs. Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Amateur Logic. I'm George.
I'm Tommy.
I'm Emil.
And this is our special Field Day 2024 episode.
It is.
Guess what we're going to talk about this month?
I'm not sure what.
I don't know. You got any ideas, Emil?
Field Day.
That sounds good. I think we have some videos on that.
I'm thinking we might.
Because timely.
Mike is not with us this month. It's his busy time of year at work, and I don't think he even was able to do field day this year.
No, he told me he worked on field day.
Yeah, so somebody's got to work.
And somebody's got to do field day.
So
we covered for you, Mike.
We did.
Just for you.
Plenty of sweating and everything that's involved in the field day down south.
But less sweating than normal.
Yeah. Oh, after you left early. I will talk about that later. You know all those knots that were in that rope that we pulled out of that tree?
They're still in there?
It took me like half an hour to untangle that mess.
Oh, man.
Emil, y'all had a big time down there, I know.
Yeah, we did. It was fun. The club got together, W5 SLA, in the heat. We had many stations in the field, which you'll see. And we learned from each other. We tested new things. We broke old things and fixed rat-chewed things. So lots going on down here in the South.
That sounds exciting.
We didn't fix any rat-chewing.
No. Not this year.
Not this year. We had fun time, though. We did. We tried up our points a little bit this year, so we took a cue from y'all. We had a safety officer this year.
Go ahead.
This guy.
You obviously both survived.
We did. Right.
Good job, safety officer.
Maybe I got one cut.
Safety is a huge thing at my work, so I'm like the obvious guy for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should be a huge thing at everybody's work, though, honestly.
He had a list, and he was checking it twice, Emil.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Getting ready for Christmas.
I think you have an email or a post.
Friend and club member, K5FJA, Frank Anona, wrote to us this year about differences between extra class question pool, which is going into effect, I believe, Monday, July 1st. And he was mentioning some of the items and the comparisons between the 2020 and the 2024 question pools. And he's saying that there's been 117 questions removed, 100 added, 155 updated, and there used to be 619 total questions in the pool, and now there's 602. So lots to look forward to on Ham College there, George and Tommy.
It's getting a little easier, though.
It is. You know, Ham...
17 questions, right?
Yeah. Ham College is... We finished the extra exams. We've got, two graduates in right here tonight. You are one of them.
You know, our friend across the pond, Laird Nigel, who's in the chat room tonight, threw down a challenge, KG0PL, Laird Nigel, or G0MEJ, who we've talked to on the show before, live, and he threw down a challenge for me, saying, okay, you're going to do this before this question pool changes, right? I tried to ignore him. I tried, and it didn't work. So when I saw the club had a testing session going on during field day, I said, all right, I'm jumping in there. I've been studying on the QRZ pages and Ham Study and all sorts of places, and with Ham College, of course. So I wiped up the drool from sleeping in class and got it done.
Yeah, well, you know, the faculty sees everything. We know that Nigel and you both slept through class a few times. Now, I think you did.
Yeah, but it's 3 o'clock in the morning for Nigel. He's got an excuse.
Well, true, yeah. But congratulations to both of you.
Yes, sir.
For stepping it up to extra.
And hats off to Nigel for pushing him over the brink, because we've been telling him he's going to do it.
Yep.
Hats off, Nigel. It's your fault.
Oh, you'll enjoy the new privileges.
That, I have not yet, but I know I will.
A little bit of extra spectrum during a contest weekend or field day is handy. As a matter of fact, there's enough extras now that I was able to get on the extra portions of the band there and call CQ, and people actually answered.
Yeah.
Years past, they wouldn't.
Activity in
there wasn't much going on there. But this year, yeah, there was a lot going on there. So nice to have that. But anyway, Ham College is now back circled around. We're doing the amateur radio technician exam pool now. If you've got people you'd like to get into amateur radio, suggest to them Ham College. And we'll be going over all the technician stuff. We've got new questions. We've got some old stuff, too, because some things didn't change. Just a whole variety, and trying to make the hobby a little interesting to newcomers as well.
Technician pool's pretty fun.
It is.
Some cool stuff in there.
And I'm going to tell you, just because we're all extras here now, don't think that you're going to get all those correct. In the chat room, there were more people missing technician questions than typically miss extra questions.
That is true.
Yeah.
It was unusual.
It was. Because everybody, I got this. Yeah. No.
It's always good to go backwards and check it out and review it again. You just might learn you something.
What do you say we get on into some of the field day videos now? This first one up is stuff you shot outdoors.
Yeah. Oh, that's the brick-and-mortar tent we did field day in this year.
It's a little more comfortable. We didn't have to install air conditioning. It was already there, but there were no antennas there.
There were not. So we did put those all up.
You may have noticed a pine tree laying on the ground back there. That was because of pine beetles. My brother sawed it down.
I brought my saltwater antenna launcher again.
Yep. It took a couple of tries on that tree.
Well, I had to get my sea legs under me the first couple
of
casts.
I can tell you're leaning real bad. You're leaning into it.
Well, it's kind of, it was windy.
It was windy. Wait a minute, those trees ain't moving.
That was a real wide angle. Actually, it was a 360 camera. I cropped that out of it.
Yeah.
So I could see the tree in.
Well, I was saying about pine tree. My brother cut it down on Friday while we were, right before we shot this right here.
Yeah. I actually was going to get some drone shot of that, but he got it down before I got the drone out.
Yeah. My brother's not a ham. I need to get him to get his technician class.
Did I send you the one without the words on it?
What words?
I guess I
did. Yeah, there was talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking in the background on these.
No, the text. I had you, when I cast it, I missed, and you, I had it saying, I'm going to go hide under here or something, and
no,
you went
I didn't.
Under the thing.
I
sent you
that.
The wrong clip. Man, I put a lot of time in it.
Yeah.
I tracked those that text and everything.
You made it that time because I'm walking over there with the trot line to tie to
it. Yeah, third cast, I made it fine.
Yeah.
And actually, there was a good cast all the way over the tree, too.
Yeah, it was. It got up high in that tree. Now, here's the other end. This was a little higher. Look
I had
at this.
To do some trick casting.
Look
here.
At this technique, man.
I need to go down to the beach and go fishing.
You make it look effortless.
It is effortless.
Yeah.
I don't have that much luck with the slingshot. I ain't going to lie about that.
This was much, much better. Don't fool with the slingshot. If you've got a Bassmaster here like Tommy.
That's no bass rod, man. That's saltwater.
Saltwater.
Surf fishing.
Yeah.
You're squirrel fishing. You can't fool me. I know you're squirrel fishing.
It does good for squirrels, too.
Yeah. And, of course, we had tied off. It took a lot of string to pull all this stuff together.
I bought that rod and reel at Virginia Beach, Virginia. MFJ Cobweb. My trusty sidekick, I guess you call it. I don't know what you call it.
Yeah, we didn't get it up quite as high this year as
we had a malfunction last time taking it down. So
true, we lost about 2 inches of the mast.
So we decided not to extend it up in the real the super flexible part of the tripod.
Yeah.
So that's it.
This is the other antenna. This is what did you call it, Tommy?
The Glentana.
The Glentana.
Yeah, that's the one you and Glenn use.
Oh, yeah, look at that. It is.
I don't know which model it is. It's an MFJ one also, but I call it the Glentana.
Check it out, Glenn.
It worked. We used it on digital.
Nice.
It worked there. It was not resonant. I should have tuned it ahead of time, but it didn't have time. It tuned okay, and I think it worked good. Made a lot of contacts with it.
There's a lot of set screws on that thing, so yeah.
All right,
gotta tune it. Take some time.
This the off center fed. This is the product of the two casts you saw a few minutes ago.
There's a rope being used as a messenger cable, and the dipole's hanging right behind it.
I didn't bring my other drone for this one, so it was a little bit more difficult for me to fit video. Yeah.
You did caption this one right here, though.
Yeah.
You sent the right video on it, I guess.
Yeah, I did.
And that's the old 4-to-1 ballon I built. And that's
nighttime crime scene tape from our Dayton deal.
Nice.
We did the live show in Dayton. ICOM had some of that tape made.
They did.
Some of this tape made.
As a matter of fact,
I remember that episode.
You know, we have our own personalized crime scene tape here, thanks to ICOM. And this is several years old now. I don't remember what year that was. We streamed live from there twice.
Glenn says that's an MFJ 2389 8-band antenna, but I like to call it the Glentana better.
Yeah.
That just kind of has a ring to it.
Rolls off the tongue.
It does.
Yeah. We got emails take on Phil Day from just a little further south here.
Oh, the country of Louisiana?
Yeah. He had a bigger team with him. You want to set this up?
Sure. Yeah. So, yeah, it was nice and hot in the field, but that didn't stop us. We really did focus this year on the field, literally, even though we had a station in the club and we operated as Four Foxtrot, Louisiana, at the ECC, as we call it. The ARRL lets us operate as a Foxtrot. And we had a great time. Like I said, we shared all sorts of things between the people there. We had some food. We had some presentations out in the field. And check it out.
Welcome to 2024 Field Day, everybody. And we always kick things off by taking our hats off and saying the pledge. The old one, everybody. Then,
all Robin, all Wars.
Order and work.
Pledge allegiance to the flag.
So, this year, instead of doing a presentation, we're actually going to do a walk in the field and check out some of the cool stuff that people have put together out there over the years. The more we've come to add to our stations, there's new equipment, existing equipment, improved situations, better use of it, and stuff we don't know what the hell we're doing with, but we're not figuring it out today. So let's just take a look out in the field, and we'll let the proprietor of each station talk through or talk us through. Yeah. My field station here with my go kit that is made to go from HF in the 40 meters pretty primarily all the way up to UHF 440. Here is
the Yaesu FT-991 from HF all the way up to UHF. Different antenna, obviously. I don't have it all hooked up yet, believe it or not. They're powered by a 100 amp hour lithium ion battery, light cold floor, as they call them, lithium ion phosphate. And I've literally run this rig just like this, transmitting every hour on Wind Lake, 50 watts or 30 watts. And it's run this rig for 3 days. Now, what I've added this year, Glenn, is a solar panel from Harbor Freight, 100-watt solar panels coming into the back of this box. Inside of this box, I can't really show you that, but inside of this box is a set of DC distribution 12-volt panels. There's a commercial power AC base power, so I can have commercial power, battery power, and the solar panel. It's all going into a West Mountain Radio Power Epic Power Gate, they call. So no matter which one is available, it'll use it as a 12-volt source. If they're all available, it'll charge the battery. So it's automatic controller. There's a certain level you got to get within, well, the 60 volts, I think it is. As long as you stay within that, you're okay. They won't fry the power gate.
The controller is a plug controller also?
Yes. Yes, in fact, that's what I was looking for when I first hooked it up this morning. There's a little blue light. That's what it was telling you. It's trickle and charging the
battery.
Yep. And there's jumpers on the inside. You got to tell it it's a lifeboat battery because the voltages, it adjusts them.
Yeah.
And your panel has to be within a certain range. So that'll keep this going as long as they're stunned. And that battery will run this rig for 3 days. I was totally surprised at that as compared to Deep Cycle, which is what I started using initially. There's no comparison.
These QO5 Mike Lena? Matt?
Yeah, check this out. We use the software mode, TNCs and stuff like that, but look what Matt's doing on the digital mode.
So, I can use it's a MobiLink TNC 4. Plugged into my FT3. So, my phone will Bluetooth with the MobiLink. And instead of using the WinLink on a regular computer, I use the Radio Mail app. It's an iOS app that works on an iPad or an iPhone. And that's how I do my WinLink the majority of the time. It has all the forms, all the WinLink forms, some position reports, everything you can do with, probably 90% of what you can do with the WinLink PC program you can do with the app. So I use that primarily for my WinLink. I'm going to try to tie it in to some other radios, but that was my initial setup, and the reason for wanting to do it was to be able to have something with me. I throw it in the backpack, and if I'm out or work or moving off, I normally have this with me somewhere. I can run everything off my battery box, and I also have a solar panel charging a spare battery up underneath it. So it's kind of a mishmash of stuff, but it works for me in my weird use cases. Got a DMRS HT over here as well. So if I got everything covered for now, we'll see what I can break.
Tell us about your battery box.
The battery box itself, that's one of the bigger parts, battery boxes. Inside of it, I have a 32 amp hour 5.4 battery, and I've been able to use that for a day or two without charging it. I take it out for POTA. Haven't had any problems with it. It's manageable and powers everything I've wanted to do so far. I may move to a secondary battery box for like a 100 amp hour, and then I'll call it quits after that. But I've powered up my 2980 with this for some 2 meter stuff. My E91, my power poles and everything, it's had power pole plugs and all your various connections on there. I've been happy with it.
That's just a pre-salicated tap. The wall pivot coil. It's good 40.6.
is where it's set. Except I got it, you know, just down. This battery bot, so these radios, but these battery bot, see how it works. And that's cool. It's 118 by 10 cents.
Okay.
Well, the wide land to draw all of it. I think the good evening brought up beat some other people out. I've been with it down at the house. Already down the cities. No, didn't blow all of it.
Everybody understands what he's doing here?
Say that again, please.
This bottom cloth right here, come see it. This bottom cloth is acting as a ground plane. He's trying to want female, like radios.
It's paradise cloth. Paradise cloth that has metal, it has copper, a little bit of zinc. Get it. Especially used to water up.
Well,
that's what I'm using it for. The county cloth. I've never gone that way.
No,
we're flat. If you step out there, shoot all the way down at the upbeat.
All right, the purpose of this setup is where if I have to evacuate or leave or do anything, I have 80 through 6 meters on you. And it's set up for inbound and for vertical. So I got the delta loop that'll give me 20 through 6. I have an infed up there that'll go 80 through 10. And then coming off the side, I have a dipole for my 2 meter 70 centimeter. But if 3 antennas up there, there's room for another one. If I need to come off the other side, I can fill some other things, the Wi-Fi or whatever. And I have that going over to my station over here. I have the 991 hooked up to the delta loop, so it requires a tuner. The infed is resonant, so I have that hooked to the 891. And then I have the dipole hooked up to the 991, so we can do 2-meter simplex and sideband for field day. So we're supposed to have every band covered. We have BMRS. The only thing we don't have covered with this setup is 220.
And what's the rig on top of the vehicle?
And we also have ATOS 120 on the truck, the 120 Alpha. But we have that hooked in. Not going to a radio yet, but both of those radios will tune that antenna, and that will go from 40 meters all the way to 70 centimeters. If I use the 991, and the 891 will tune it from 40 to 10, a 6, if it has to.
All right, so I have these Recon from Resident Cell. I have a Recon 40. Well, the Recon 40 is a loaded coil with no moving parts except this wind, all else with. If I disengage the coil, basically I'm shooting 20 meters. If I engage the coil, I'm shooting 43 breath, bad except the 70-inner. Dialing to us, the only even part I have within that antenna. After that, you treat them from the whip it's out. You need to go, that's any other band, you treat it here. Breaks down and real portability. I'm here to follow my user data. I want it portable and easy to carry. What I have over here is I have an 891 that I use for my radio next.
Plus, I built an external battery supply, a battery box here too, where the plugs in. I can do for my power supply. I carry a 20 amp LiPo battery within here, LiPo 4 battery within here. And I have my iPad to be able to log anything I need to log. Plus, I have my GMRS and my 70 centimeter radios as well. What I don't have up here is my roll up J pole, which I didn't put up today. But I do have the
first line setting up a funny phone with a new radio that we're trying to figure out how to get it in. Better life freaky piece of system in there to be sure that we get that set up and let it just start call.
Perfect.
And
What if it
decide to get a body pole? And I suggest did some foul before you get the old body to grab it to leave it alone. Then pull up the rich whip with 1.5 foot long. No coil. If you add coil, then we're not be selling that with the ball switch trooper that he set up. But the fact said, one with bandit war power is good we need.
Wow.
Okay. So what's wrong with that?
Okay.
This is the Yazoo 857, who I picked up at Huntsville last year. They call it a shack in the back. This is the first time we're actually getting to use it.
Shack in the back.
All right, so the cloth, Whiskey 5 Sierra Lima Alpha, looks like you might be operating that as a full Foxtrot. But anyway, the club, W5SLA, has their tower here. And the current is a Mosley beam at the top off the band, which we can rotate around thanks to Nick's trolleys and fix and ratchet cable. And the beam right above it is a 2-meter beam. And on the top, the very top, is a vertical dual band antenna that goes to the station inside. So let's go off. So this is the W5SLA operating position that we use for multi-bands, multi-modes, you name it. On the left here, we have a setup for packet station so that we can hit all of our stuff off of our digi. In the middle, we have the TS-2000, which we have hooked to the G5RV that's off the tower outside. It's rotor control here, hooked to the 746 Pro 3 that we usually use for 20 and higher bands. And we also have a VHF radio here that we use to talk to the fudge repeater, as well as GMRS, that the club maintains a GMRS repeater as well. And so we can talk to people on that band and do any relay. There's about 60 amps of power supply available to this station. And pretty nice DC distribution they have set up here. And we just keep it going every field day and make sure it all works. So that's W5SLA.
Nice, Emil. You know, Tommy, I didn't recognize some of those Louisiana accents. They sounded a little different than I remember in the past. Any explanation?
Yeah, that was a little bit of me and Glenn's fault. I used some Adobe audio enhancement in that video, so the AI might have got a hold of our accents a little bit. But we did manage to pull it off. But we're still learning some of our equipment as well. But you know, the stations did pretty good. I'm still receiving some logs from people. We took part in some of the digital challenges that are out there, Winlink challenges. We were visited by our section staff and leadership, which is awesome to see them making the rounds from our leadership here. So we just had a great time and ate, and we were merry. What is that saying?
Yeah.
It looks like a pretty nice setup, but...
Yeah, and you got a good turnout too, and looks like everybody was really into it.
Yeah. So they definitely want to be there and make it work, and that's what we do every year. We just try to make it work.
Yep, and it is really work down in the south setting up that many stations
in the heat, 110-105 heat indexes, and it's humid, and it's usually always raining, but we lucked out this time. And propagation was good, and the solar panels, boy, did we have some sun.
Yeah, and that's one thing we should have done, Tommy, that we didn't.
Yeah.
Threatened to, but...
Yeah, next time it will. Last year, the battery lasted the whole time, but this year you're running... Well, I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah. I drained your battery.
Yeah, you drained my battery.
Yeah. But could have been with the charger, though. It might not have... Might not have got it down because we had a lot of sun. Good propagation, like you said, Emil. I didn't hear hardly any static crashes at all, even on 80 meters. It was a good weekend.
Yeah. And, you know, the ARRL is still allowing people who operate. We only stayed Saturday, but, you know, it goes through Sunday the next day to 1 o'clock. So you can still contribute when you work from home to your club's station. They're still allowing that logs ever since, you know, the COVID thing.
Under so, the same class?
Under, I know they just take those points and they send, you can attribute your contacts you made from home to the club's efforts. So, yeah. I mean, my logs, for instance, that I did here, I did a whole bunch of FT8 when I on the second day. I'm putting them under... You know, it's under my name, which I operated one Delta, is it? Or one Alpha? I forget what commercial power is. Anyway.
One Delta?
I did, yeah. I did one Delta Louisiana here on FT8. But it'll still apply those points over there. Oh, they still, yeah. You can pick your club, basically, and say, apply my stuff over there.
Wow. That was neat. Very neat. Y'all always do a great job down there. Makes Tommy and I, you know, our little tour, three-man team.
Two and a half.
Yeah.
The half guy, he was kind of invisible.
Yeah. We operated as a W5AXC. And thanks, Mr. and Mrs. VE3MIC. I don't know, shirt works or what you want to call it. They made these nice shirts for us.
Very nice shirts.
Yes.
Should have wore mine. I didn't know you were going to wear it tonight. I would have wore mine.
Well, I took it to wear it on field day, and then I ended up wearing a Los Palos Hermanos shirt when we shot the video.
Breaking Bad shirt.
Yeah, my Breaking Bad shirt. So, yeah, there was that. We're going to be right back. Don't go away because we've got a lot more to go yet.
Whiskey 5 Alpha X-Ray Charlie. Whiskey 5 Alpha X-Ray Charlie. Alpha X-Ray Charlie. QSL, we are 3 Alpha Mississippi, Mike Sierra.
Fun, Sun, and QSO. Wherever you go, keep the fun going with one of ICOM's go-to portables or remote rigs. The IC705 and IC7300 radios both feature a large touchscreen with real-time spectrum scope and waterfall display for intuitive functions and setting operation. So kick back, enjoy the breeze, and make those QSOs with ease. The IC705 portable radio provides base station features and performance in the palm of your hand. From HF to 50, 144, or 440 MHz, enjoy a wide variety of bands in the D-Star DV, single sideband, CW, RIDI, AM, and FM modes. This handheld also includes an RF direct sampling system, wireless LAN and Bluetooth connectivity, an internal GPS receiver, and more. The IC7300 is an industry first to use an RF direct sampling system and an entry-level HF radio. This high-performance radio includes an audio scope function, IP+, class-leading RMDR and phase noise characteristics, 15 discrete bandpass filters, and a built-in automatic antenna tuner. This compact and innovative radio will far exceed your expectations. Bring the fun wherever you are by going remote. The optional RSBA1 remote control software allows you to operate your ICOM from a portable PC. For those of you with an IC7300, head on over to ICOMAmerica.com and download the latest firmware to get ICOM's new digital pre-distortion capabilities. This technology corrects nonlinear distortion at the final amplifier stage by applying inverse distortion at the pre-distortion section in the FPGA unit in advance. For more information about ICOM's amateur radios and to locate a dealer, visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur today. For the love of ham radio.
If you can find some of this type of rope at a ham fest, usually comes on big spools. I bought a 2,000-foot spool of it at the Slidell Ham Fest a few years back. Maybe it's tent cord. I don't know what it is. It's kind of like parachute cord, except a little smaller. I assume, well, I want to say nylon, but I don't know what it's made out of. It's much better than trot line. This stuff has been great. I've got some I put up at my house about 3 years ago just to use to support some coax. It has not stretched or deteriorated at all. This stuff is great for hanging wire antennas. Highly recommend it. This is some of the native wildlife of the area.
Yeah. Oh, that caught me off guard.
Yeah. This is that rope, man. You bought 2,000 feet of this too, didn't you? At Slidell Hamfest.
I saw the vendor. I don't know that.
No.
I bought it. What?
It was Wayne. That's who bought it.
Yeah, yeah.
$20 for 2,000 feet. Man, this is some great stuff right here. But let me give you a clue. If you're going to roll it off, you need to spin that reel and roll it off like that. Don't pull it off the end like this, or you're going to end up with a knotted mess that's going to take you a half an hour or an hour to untangle.
Yeah, after your buddy leaves and you're sitting in the sun by yourself.
Exactly like that. So, yeah, that's great stuff, man. Really works good.
Is that guy there every year, Emil?
I don't know who it was, to be honest. I had a table last time, and I didn't get to walk around as much the last time I was there.
I wouldn't mind coming down and getting some of that myself.
I think I've seen it in Jackson before. The people who sell those poles, aluminum poles.
Yeah, they quit coming a few years ago.
Well, I guess that answers your question.
Is that who it was?
I think it was them. Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. You might see it again.
In September, by the way.
September, okay.
Check it out. It's out. The flyers are starting to pop up on W5SLA.net, so check them out.
There's another event coming up. You know, Tommy likes to keep on top of the Ute scene. And
the Utes. But, everybody might not get to get my cousin Vinny reference.
This is hot off the press. This just came off email just moments ago.
In memory of Bob Heil, K9 EID, the Youth on the Air Shack will be named the Bob Heil K9 EID Memorial Youth on the Air Camp Amateur Radio Shack. Bob Heil, along with the company he founded, Heil Sound, have supported Youth on the Air from the very beginning. Regardless of what was needed for camp, Bob would never fail to send what we need and more to use at camp. Youth on the Air will forever remember his legacy in the amateur radio community and his support for Youth on the Air in the Americas. Activation of the VE1YOTA call sign from camp in Halifax, Nova Scotia will begin the evening of Sunday, July the 7th, and conclude on Friday, July 12th. Campers will be able to ask questions of an astronaut in the International Space Station during the camp as well. For details about the camp, download the brochure and camp handbook on youthontheair.org/Halifax2024.
You did a little project a while back. It's been quite a while back, but you actually got some video
of
building that project. Do you want to set it up?
Yeah, it's my M5 stack. I did one video when I first set it up, and I mentioned there's a voice keyer app in there that'll you can do your CQs, so forth, recorded in the radio, and it'll actually play it back. If you remember back in November of 23, I think it was, I showed you the M5 stack device with the M5 ham radio project running on it. I've been running the DX tracker on the since I used it. I haven't used my 705 a whole lot since then, but I do want to get it ready for field day. Field day will be coming up in about a month and a half from the time I video this, but it may be about 2 weeks from when you actually see it. But nevertheless, I'm going to change this over to use the voice keyer and remote it from using this device as part of the functionality of the M5 ham radio project. So if you want to see how to get to this point, go watch episode 187, watch my segment on there. I thought it's a really good one myself. It shows you how to set this up, how to pair with the Bluetooth on your 705. Several of the more modern ICOM rigs have functionality for this built in. So anyway, check that segment out. It's kind of a prerequisite for this one. But today I'm going to go ahead and reboot this, go into the keyer functionality of it, and set it up. It's already paired to my radio last time, so you should see it pair when I change it over. So let's go ahead and do that. So I'll reboot it. When it's coming up, I'll hit the middle button and go down to IC Keyer, and it'll load up. Try to keep some of this glare off for you. And it should pair up with my radio. Once it comes up. So first of all, we're going to need to record something in our memory keyer, in our voice keyers rather. So let's hit menu, voice, and we can see we've got 8 here that we can use. It corresponds to the 8 buttons that are on this device. So let's go ahead and hit record and record. We're going to go ahead and do the first one. And I'll go ahead and if you have a Bluetooth mic set up, you can hit mic select and record through that one, or you record through the hand mic. Now on the hand mic, you don't have to hit the push to talk for it to record. It activates the element in here for it by itself. So let's go ahead and we'll record one. CQ, CQ, this is N5ZNO, CQ, CQ. And we can give it a name. Well, let's play it back.
CQ, CQ, this is N5ZNO, CQ, CQ.
That's good enough. So let's save it. We'll go back. It's 5 seconds long. We'll hold down on it. Hit edit name. We'll just call it CQ, whatever. Oops. I can spell. C. Q. And enter. And we can put, like I said, we can put up to 8 in there. You can, just so you know, I've got a dummy load set up on my rig here. So we're not actually transmitting over the air while we're testing here. I have played around with this before, and it keys up the rig. You should hear it click. But let's go ahead and come out of this. To play them, if you hit, just tap T1.
CQ, CQ, this is N5ZNO, CQ, CQ.
You see it light up the transmit button right here. Let's see. Lights up the transmit. But we can also do the same thing here. We can hit T1. So if we hit T1, you can see there's a 1 right there. If you hit it again, oops, there's a little infinity sign beside it, like a sideways 8. And that'll play it over and over. But let's go back to the 1. It's kind of hard for me to see that while it's on camera. But we'll hit start.
CQ, CQ.
Pretty cool. Just the same as that. If we hit the infinity sign, hit start.
CQ, CQ. This is N5ZNO, CQ, CQ. CQ, CQ.
It plays it over and over.
CQ.
And we hit stop to stop it. But this is all fine and good. It's easy to touch the buttons on the rig, right? So why would you want to do that? Well, this is a SDR receiver. And on field day, it's really nice to see the waterfall, see the strong signal so you can pounce on them. Search and pounce mode, actually. So you can pounce on them and go make contact. So what we can do here is go to menu, scope. We can put the scope back on the screen. And look here. Our keyer still works. So you got more functionality like that. Now I don't have to go back and forth between those. Go back to one single mode. And likewise, if you want to do the third one, you can hit that and it'll do the same, works the same way. We only just set up one for this demonstration, but I'll have several in there. I'll probably put some with my call sign and then some with our club call sign that we normally run field day under, Whiskey 5 Alpha X-Ray Charlie. So anyway, it's really cool. Yeah, you've got time probably to get your device and get it set up if you want to use one of the rigs that are supported by it. Again, there's Amateur Logic 187. It's the November of 2023 episode where I actually put this together, put the software on it, showed how to configure the radio and everything. So you might want to go back and look at that. But this is really nice. It works off of Wi-Fi or Bluetooth, and I've got it paired up on Bluetooth right now. So you can see when I turned them on, it just paired itself back up. So anyway, it's pretty cool. I'm definitely going to be using it on field day. Definitely will. If the battery runs low on it, you can operate it by plugging the external battery into the USB-C and power it that way. So battery life shouldn't be a problem either. And I'll always have extra batteries with me. Thanks to Armel. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. F4HWN. He's from France. Anyway, special thanks to him for providing the software. It's really awesome. Extends the functionality of an already great rig. And looking forward to field day. So, anyway, I hope to catch you guys on 73 and good luck in the contest. Practicing my sign off.
I saw you over there using it.
Yeah, I use it a lot.
Yeah.
I did run the battery down one time. The battery lasted about 5 or 6 hours, maybe. But I had my little USB battery, so I plugged it in. Plugged the USB-C cable into it. It charged up a little bit and just went right back to working.
Yeah.
That's very handy.
That's such a neat little device, man, that M5 stack. I bought one after seeing you use it. Unfortunately, it won't connect to my IC7000 or any rig I own.
Well, you can send it home with me because it'll connect to my other rig.
That's okay. I'll do something with it. I just don't know what yet. But
yeah, it's a cool little device. Yeah. And that software on it is really amazing. If you haven't seen that episode 187, you ought to go watch it. Especially if you got an Icon rig, one of the newer ones.
So you had a Facebook post you wanted to share with us tonight.
Yeah, I did. It's from my friend Mark Garrett. It's about the balloons. You know, he and Bill do the
Bill Brown?
Yeah, do the hot air balloons a lot. Well, they let out two at Dayton. They sent these two balloons off. There they go. He put a link in here where you can track them. Well, I clicked it. I already did it, just save some time. And I showed 7 days of the tracking. And I thought one of them was kind of interesting. Actually, both of them. One's already been around the world and coming back over there. And the other one, I thought it was interesting where it died. It died at the right on top of the Beirut airport.
Wow.
See there?
Yeah.
So
you think it was shot down?
I don't know. It's kind of interesting where it ended up. Well, I'd confirm that's it right there, where it was. But anyway, it's not much in the post, but these hot air balloons, I find them really amazing that they can just go around the world around. And it's really cool. I need to get with Bill. I'm actually going over there this weekend near where he lives. But, yeah. I need to get with him about getting one of those boards stuff and seeing about doing one. That's on my bucket list. One day I'm going to send up one of them at least.
Okay. I'll take pictures.
Okay. How about video?
Video?
This is not really a photo show here.
True. Yeah.
You could get your drone and follow it around the world.
Yeah. Get a bigger battery.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
But anyway, I thought it was kind of cool. It's not a lot of text in the post, but I thought it was interesting where the balloon ended up.
Like yeah.
Directly above the Beirut airport. So it kind of makes you wonder what happened to it.
It's pretty wild. Well, we always like to show what we use for a station at field day each year. Here's yours. Here's what you use this year.
I'm dying to see what I used. Field day 2024. It's been a good one. We came out a little bit early, set up on Friday night, got the antennas up. So Saturday was a pretty nice day. We didn't have to sweat outside and get all that stuff put together, which was huge plus for us. We usually do everything at the last minute. I'm going to withhold on saying anything about points yet until they're all tallied up and verified, but unless George wants to say something about them. But I've got my station here. Let me kind of show you what I've got. It's mostly the same, but a few little changes. This year we ran off of battery power for the whole thing, pretty much. I used my little 8-amp hour Miati battery on my 705 this year, and it ran out on me. So I noticed that I wasn't making very many contacts late yesterday afternoon, and I did not realize that my battery died and I was running off of 5 watts. It still showed that it was charging because I have the USB cable plugged in, so the N1MM logging software that we use could get data from the radio, but it's also trickle charges the battery, the built-in battery. So it looked like it was still connected and powered, but in fact it wasn't. So had a few problems making some contacts till I figured that out, and it did better. I switched over to my Blue Eddy EB3A to power my rig this time. It helped a lot, but 5 watts doesn't cut it. 10 watts is much, much better, but 100 watts is still the way to go, I guess. So I may look at bringing my 7100, or I may get a 7300 for next year, but we'll see about that. Same computer, got it hooked up. I've actually brought a monitor this time so I can keep QRZ running over here and look up call signs and things like that while I'm operating and not have to deal with multiple computers. Got my same tuner, my little ICOM tuner that goes with my 705 you've seen before. Same filters, we still use those. I think we need to invest in a few more because we tried some other bands this year. I think we did 10 meters, and I was having a little bit of trouble from that. So we need a 80 meter, which Wayne had. He didn't come this year. And we need a 10 meter filter. So we may have to invest in that for next year. I do have my Keir, which you may or you may not have seen my segment on yet. I made it a few months ago, but we had other things come up, and we had to run it, so you'll either see it this show or the next one, probably.
Cool.
Yeah. And you have seen my segment, by the way. I didn't know when we were going to be able to play it.
Yeah, we can't say that anymore. We saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I would do like a Quentin Tarantino movie and play the Mata sequence for.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, you know.
At least you built it before you used it.
Oh, yeah. The 705 did really good. Last year, I was pretty close with you on contacts with the 10 watts, but we didn't get the cobweb up as high this year, so I'm thinking that hurt me some, too.
That probably hurt you a little bit. Yeah, but me running 10 times as much power probably weighted a little bit to my advantage.
Yeah, but it's a 705.
Yeah, well, it is, which would be a really nice POTA. Or a more portable rig, but yeah, I'm going to twist your arm and get you to bring 100 watts next year.
I'll probably bring my 7100.
I've got an email, a bona fide email here that I wanted to read. You know, over on Ham College, we always give away an ICOM swag package each episode. Usually it's a T-shirt and whatever else Jesse can stuff in the box. Our winner this past month... Well, actually, it was this month, a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We did Ham College. And he sent an email here. He said, because we notified him he won. Thanks, George. Looking forward to your field day show on Amateur Logic.
Oh, he's in the chat room tonight.
I was with KK1PMA in Rhode Island again this year.
Oh, nice.
2FRI. Lots of fun. I'm the one in the green field day shirt. 7-3, Mike Dipoles, NY1U.
That's a great name for a ham, too.
That is. I don't think that's his real last name, though.
That's a good one, though.
Could be French, maybe. No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, Dipoles, if that's any particular nationality. I don't know. But sounds
French. Looks like they had a pretty nice setup there.
Yeah, they did. Very nice. Nice location to operate from, too.
Incidentally, talking back about the Facebook post, Mark is in the chat room. He says that the WBBI 12 one was taken down by a storm on Monday. I guess Monday of this week.
Yeah. Arnie says the 7100 is a great rig, Tommy.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's a very nice rig. I like it. Yeah. Only thing, it doesn't have the SDR, the waterfall display on it. And that's really nice when you're, like, looking. I do have a way around it, though. I'll save that for another time.
Yeah, that, you got everything you need for that already.
I really do.
Yeah.
But I still want a 7610, but we'll see.
Well, I went primitive. I use non SDR radios, but I actually did use an SDR receiver only as a tuning aid, though. I didn't really use the audio from it. Here's my field day setup. Well, my new station is the same as the old station, pretty much. Not much has changed. I did use these HyperX headsets again, gaming headsets that I bought last year and interfaced into the rig. It worked good. Comfortable. I used Vox. I didn't call for shout out or anything much that falsely keyed it. But, of course, it did happen. I've got the IC7000 I used again as my main rig, particularly for sideband. I've got one of these in my truck as well. I've got two of those. I like those rigs. Unfortunately, they don't really have a nice new band scope in them, so I brought the SDR Uno, RSP Duo again, software-defined radio. You can see the signals have really dropped off now on 15 meters. But this is connected with the radio, just like last year. So I can click on anything or tune anything here, and it does the radio, or I can spin the VFO on the radio, and it does it here. So it gives me, you know, a nice band scope to work with that older radio. I did buy a new tuner this year. I needed an additional tuner, and I had been thinking about getting a larger auto tuner for a while. I might have bought the Legal Limit MFJ auto tuner, except they're out of those and they're not going to be building anymore. So I've got another LDG tuner. This is AT100 Pro 2. It's an auto tuner. It worked well. It's got built-in bar graph for power and SWR. It's a 1,000-watt tuner. I think actually it could take 1,200 watts, but don't want to push it. You can manually tune it, the capacitors and the inductors. It's got a number of features in it. Nice laptop here. The only thing I ran on it was the SDR Uno software to control the SDR and the rig. And I ran a copy of the N1MM software, which is what we use for our logging. And yeah, that's basically the same thing that I did last year. I did bring another laptop over here. Last year, I just ran one copy of N1MM, and I ran it on this older laptop. This year, I ran it on two because I used two rigs. I did single operator two transmitters, and I brought the old FT-857D out of the closet that has been sitting there and not used for several years. I don't know if you can see the display on it, but it has had it. I left this in the one of the mobiles for a year or two, and it got the dreaded FT-857D lines in the display, so it's very hard to read now. You can't see what's on it. You can kind of guess at what some of the stuff is. I'm working on a solution for that. But, yeah, that's a known problem with these rigs. I'm running Ham Radio Deluxe on a second monitor to this computer. Just got a serial connection for cat control to the rig. Ham Radio Deluxe over here so that I can tell what frequency I'm on and adjust power. I've got my old LDG Z100 auto tuner on here that I've used for years. I just strapped it to the top of this, and this was my FT8 station. I've never worked FT8 before. It's a new mode for me. I set it up a couple of weeks ago and started playing with it, so I kind of know how it worked. I just use this rig at 30 watts. I've got WSJTX on here. I ran FT8 with it. I've got also on this is running, as I said, Ham Radio Deluxe, which I have on that monitor. And I'm running 10.1 mm. And the reason I have two copies, when you make a contact in WSJTX, at the end of it, when it completes, it'll pop up a window that allows you to dump it right into N1MM through an IP connection. So it's sitting on the laptop. It's already there. And it automatically sends a frequency and logs it as being an FT8 contact. The problem is if you try to manually enter a contact after that, even if it's sideband over here on this other side, doesn't matter. It's going to log it as an FT8 contact. So that's the reason I'm running two copies of our N1MM logging software here. And a runoff Tommy's battery is 50 ampere hour battery. And it worked good, but I ran it all the way in the ground this year. Didn't do it last year, but I was running two rigs off of it. So it held up admirably. I wish he had two of them. I may have to give me one like that. We didn't bring the solar panels out. We should have. That would have been nice. Anyway, that's my setup. The only thing really different is I added FT8. So I'm working this and doing sideband at the same time, two different rigs. So I make more contacts. And my evil plan worked. I did make more contacts.
Yeah, you did.
Even if it was using FT8. yeah.
Hey, you did something new. That's what counts.
That's what counts. Yep. And it was cheap because I didn't buy anything to make it happen.
Free software, buddy. Good job, yep. Professor.
Well,
I don't think I spent any money on field day this year. Anything new.
Loaf of bread.
M5 stack. Yeah. And, I mean, other than food and water.
Yeah.
But I'm going to buy that anyway.
Well, I made up for it. I bought that auto tuner, but I.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've been wanting one of those anyway. There's our field day coverage for 2024. As glamorous as field day is, there's always a bad point to it. What would you say is probably the negative point of field day? Out of all the activities, what's the worst job, Emil?
You know, sometimes when you're out there sitting in that heat and you're realizing you got to pick this stuff up, I'm thinking that is not the most fun part to me, for sure.
Yeah.
'Cause one, you don't want to leave. Two, you know you got to do it, and there's a lot of stuff we go through in the mornings from 9 o'clock until 1 to make it work. So you got to go backwards.
And that's a lot hotter. It's a lot hotter generally when you're tearing down than it is when you're setting up.
We were all over it. We were ready to get out of there. So you can tell we were kind of in a hurry.
Stepping lively.
Yep. We used the Benny Hill method.
Benny Hill
insert.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, insert Benny Hill music.
That's the cobweb coming down.
It came down the same way it went up this time.
Pretty much.
Came down sideways last year.
And look, all the mass is left.
Yeah. That didn't take long at all. And Tommy left before all those ropes were picked up. Those were the short ropes. That was only like 400 foot there. Now here's the Glen Tenner coming down. It was fairly effortless. Just one person put their foot at the bottom of it, another one walk it up or down.
The old Glen Tenner. We're going to get that thing tuned up for next year.
Yep. All those set screws and those whips can be adjusted to get it right in the range you want it in.
Yeah. Which it was on the opposite end of the band from where I wanted to be for digital. But the thing worked. I probably could have done better on a different antenna, but that was easy to set up, and it had both 15 and 40 meters, which I worked FT8 on, and 20 meters. So, yeah, that's the main reason I used it, because multiband antenna, and it was didn't take a lot of extra effort to put it up. Tommy left around 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I stayed to wind up all the rope. You would never think that winding up the rope would be the worst part of it. That took hours, man, because...
I told you I'd stay.
Yeah. It wouldn't have helped. Untwisted knots. Remember my trick. Don't pull it off the end of the spool. Roll the spool. Roll it off of it.
But we did roll it off because I had a screwdriver in there. And
you did.
It unwound like that.
Well, I don't know what made it knot up so bad, but it was... it hadn't done that in years past. Something different. Maybe we stretched it too tight. I don't know. But
whatever you did, you're not going to do it again?
Right. Exactly.
With a K.
I'm not wanting to do it that way again. Well, that's
it.
It
was a fun field day, though. It's a great time. It's really nice using the brick-and-mortar tent, too, having a shower.
That made a big difference, and built-in air conditioning.
Yeah.
You know, because a window unit and a Visqueen tent just doesn't.
A bed was nice, too. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yep. Refrigerator. That was handy. But it was not a ham station. There were no ham stations set up there previously. So
everything was
brought in and set up.
We actually set up the antennas. We didn't get any setup video of the antennas because by the time we got the lines casted up there, it was getting kind of dark, so a lot of it was done.
Yeah.
It was pretty late.
Yeah, putting that cobweb up was after dark.
Yeah.
We had flashlights out there. So, but we wanted to finish all the setup on Friday evening so that we didn't have to get up early Saturday morning and do it. We haven't tallied our score yet. I don't know why it didn't occur to me that I need to do that until just a few minutes ago. So we'll have to maybe let you know next episode. There again, just the two of us. We talk slow, so I can guarantee our score would not be in the top 10. But
we had top fun.
We had top fun, exactly. So before we get out of here tonight, Tommy, any final thoughts on field day or anything?
No, it was fun. This may be the only one that I've been to that I haven't gotten sunburned.
I didn't either. Yeah.
But so, anyway, it's a good time, and appreciate you hosting us out there for that.
Oh, that was my pleasure. I'm glad that we were able to do it from there again this year. Email.
Well, let me see. You know, I remember making a contact with a certain W5AXC over the air.
We made more than one contact. It's in the log.
Multi-bands this time.
Yep. Yeah. We tried 160, but that wasn't going to work for us.
That would have been pretty awesome. On another note, let's check with the Enterprise to see what they did for the field day.
Well, as you can see, we have another problem.
Wait, let's see. Spock, what did you do?
Your signal is very weak. Can you turn up your gain?
We were talking a moment ago about dipoles, last name of dipoles. Where would that be? You know, what language? Email, you pulled out the AI on it. What did you find out?
ChatGPT.
Yeah, ChatGPT says it's Greek, and it also whipped out the physics. Let's see here. Got it. The word dipole originates from Greek. It combines di, meaning two, and pole, meaning pole. In physics, a dipole refers to a pair of equal and opposite electrical charges or magnetic poles separated by a small distance. So there you go. It's Greek. It's all Greek to me.
There you go. Wow. See, I was way off. Well, not that far. France and Greece are not that far apart, I don't guess. But anyway, okay, good to know. I don't often trust what I read on ChatGPT. I've thrown several programming questions at it. I wanted to write me some code. I haven't ever got it to produce any that would actually run yet. It looked good when you looked at the code, but it was calling functions that didn't exist and things like that. But I know people are having some luck with it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Never well, really tried that.
That's going to do it. We'll be back with the next Ham College. That will be... That's going to be the end of July sometime.
Yeah, the next Amateur Logic will probably be sooner.
Yep.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 or 3 weeks.
Let's hope we have segments by then.
Yep. If we don't have segments instead of the 12th, it'll be the 19th. Maybe we'll have something by then. But 4th of July is coming up here in the U.S. Happy 4th, everyone. Independence Day.
Yep, and happy 4th.
Yep, go barbecue a Winnie or a hamburger or even if you're feeling rich, steaks. Just don't tell him Mill.
Mm-mm. La, 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 la.
7-3.
7-3, everybody. Good night.
7-3.